Are you ready, Andy?
I don't know. Am I? Was there anything that I wanted to make sure?
Which key are we going to sing the song in this weekend?
Sure.
Hold on. And which song are we going to sing?
Yeah. Do you want to write down the chords ahead of time? So, yeah.
Should we just do it a cappella?
Yeah. He can remember the phone number. He can't remember the chords of the song you wrote.
Save it for air. I'm not ready yet. Hold on.
I don't know. We're ready.
Yeah. We're already spinning.
Are you recording anything?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm recording you guys here. I'm recording you on the Zoomage.
Awesome.
You're double recorded, and then you're recorded. We're quadruply recorded.
We got recordings coming out our ass.
And we all might actually have the correct audio this week.
No, we don't.
We're going to get this.
Something's going to go wrong. Let's just admit that right now. So let's apologize.
By the way, we're getting dangerously close to episode 200. So if we haven't perfected this by episode 200, can we just say we should just move on and just go on with our lives?
Here's what I think we do. I think we perfect it, and then the moment we perfect it, we never do another one.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe it can coincide with episode 200 that we finally get it right, and that's a great way to go out.
What's great is it's going to be almost, I think, like, we're like a week or so, 2 weeks away maybe from 3 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we started it in October of 17. Yeah.
Wait, 3 years?
Yeah.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah, we started it a month before the sound went away.
Right. Who would think that we have 3 years worth of shit to talk about?
Well, we don't. We've got 15 minutes of shit to talk about.
That's true.
We just keep talking about it.
Yeah, that's right. We have very little to talk about, and we talk about it a lot. That's exactly what the formula is. That should be our new slogan. Very little to say, but a lot to say about it. There's t-shirts.
Yes! Write that down. And what's the other one? Who said?
Oh, that's right. Somebody gave us
just the right amount of stupid.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Trucker Joe? Was that Trucker Joe?
I don't know. I don't think it was Trucker Joe.
We should be better about giving our listeners credit. We're terrible at that.
You're listening to the voices of Joshua J. Fleeger and Larry Morgan. Oh. I'm Andy Chanley.
Oh.
And Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Intros before the song.
Exactly.
We're playing with the format every week, man. We're shaking it up.
Trying to get the business taken care of for a change.
All right.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure your friendships in, tune into this podcast. We are the official friends.
So should we just tell people that the reasons I've sound like shit for the last like 2 weeks is because the whole new microphone setup I got wasn't even plugged in right.
Let's go through this saga, right? Okay, so we start out doing this podcast back, 3 years ago, like we say, and I went out and I spent, I don't know. I mean, I had a lot of equipment, but I probably spent $1,000 on microphones and mic stands. And, I bought four $200 microphones and some mic stands and some pop filters and some headphones. And
did you
all
buy
this
that
kind of
table
shit.
Just for that setup?
Yes. Yeah.
Bought some Chardonnay to dump on the board.
That's right.
God damn it. It was red wine. It was red wine.
I bought Limburger.
He doesn't drink Chardonnay.
So I bought all that stuff, right, to set everything up. And what's great is when we were doing the podcast, right behind me over here inside the cave, I heard from a lot of people who had done podcasts and done broadcasting say, wow, what are you using? That sounds great. Yeah. Like, once a week, somebody's like, hey, I need help setting up a podcast. What do you guys use? Because it sounded pretty good.
Well, even then, though, you have to admit
the times that I actually recorded.
Yeah, we did have plenty of technical issues, even with that sweet setup.
It even sounded good when you recorded it with like a boom mic in the corner.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That's right. I'm not that saying, was the ambient mic episode.
I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm just saying it had the potential to be. Anyway, we got to dial in.
I don't think that episode even counts as an episode, so we might be like at 197.
So we had that going on, right?
Yep.
And then a number of episodes where, you know, shit was just wonky and we just dealt with it. But because there's nothing worse than you bringing together four people and spending an hour or so together talking, and you're having belly laughs like, oh my God, I spun gold on that one. And then
best show ever, guys.
High fives all around. I'm sorry. I thought I pressed record, but I didn't.
Didn't me and you could like actually not record like 30 minutes of an episode.
Yes, until
we realized that nothing was actually happening.
And it was sublime.
I remember like laughing like hysterically, and then all of a sudden, like as soon as we realized it wasn't recorded, it was just everything deflated. It was like, what the hell?
We lost the Kui Nord diamond or something. Yeah. It was so good.
Andy, have you ever had that experience where you've had an interview with like a big name? And
you have. Well, no, you have.
Well, big name is debatable on
was
mine.
Was it Nelson?
Because I've told that story when Nelson came in. The pop duo from the 80s with the long hair, Nelson came in.
I did this. I did this much when I had, I think I told you guys this. I had, it was just recently. I had the Watkins family.
Right.
You know, Nickel Creek. I had them on and I'm doing a Zoom interview with them. And I start off and I'm like, you know, I really am a huge fan of you guys. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I really do. Because I have for 20 years. I've thought they were great. And they're like, wow, well, you saying that to us, we love you. Your radio station is just fantastic. It's really great. I'm like, well, thanks for saying that. That's really nice. We have this little love fest. And I look down and I see, oh, shit, I didn't press the recording button. And I'm like, I got to start over. Uh-huh. And so we start over. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt you in the middle of your answer, but you're not going to like this. And so we had to start the whole goddamn thing over. It was really embarrassing. I'll tell you what, though. I hate that. I hate it when I do it to myself. I hate it even more when it's someone else's fault.
Oh,
that's probably a character flaw in me. But I remember we were at the Sound, and Pat Monahan and another guy from Train come in for an interview. Early days of the Sound, right? We're still a AAA station. And they come in, and I start off Pat Monahan, I mean, in my experience, can be a prickly pear. You know, he doesn't suffer fools and can be a little cranky. I've experienced. Nice enough guy, very talented, but, you know, it doesn't have a lot of patience for bullshit. So we sit down and start off the interview, and I'm like, Pat Monahan, you know, and the other guy whose name I can't remember, good to see you again. It's been several years since I saw you at Channel 103.1. You guys came in there for a session and did something for us. But that's been, like 8 years now. Tell me everything that's happened in your life since then. And it just caught them off guard and like a belly laugh from him. And it just took all of the tension out of the room. And it was clear we were going to have a blast talking because they're laughing and I'm laughing. We're getting started in this. And like 5 minutes in, Sam Peasley says, guys,
no.
I'm sorry that the camera, there's... The chip is full and I didn't get that. I'm like, son of a, then you got to start over.
Yeah,
and
you can't redo the thing. Yeah.
And he was more like that prickly pear that I experienced. Well, you knew the second go around.
I did that with who was the super old guy that came the old actor.
But, oh,
yeah, Danny turned on the wrong mic, and we recorded like half of a my turn.
Yeah,
and he was on the wrong mic.
And didn't what's
and
his
I had
name?
To go back and Danny like figured out the problem, laughed, corrected it, and then left the room. And I'm just, and I had to. Too. Who was it? Ed? Was it? He was the guy that did the commercials for the solar things. What's his name?
Ed Asner.
Yeah, Ed Asner.
Imagine talking about a cantankerous hair.
Ed. That was the most uncomfortable I was ever at that station. I also did it one time where I had to go. They booked this big. It was a sales thing. They got I remember when we would do the 10 at 10s. There was a big thing going on with the Anaheim Ducks or something, and they got me to go down and have 10 different Anaheim Duck players introduce a song for the – it was going to be a Los Angeles Anaheim Ducks of – Anaheim, 10 of 10. And
that's a sponsorship that's smoothly.
And I went down, I had one of those little USB or mics with the memory cards in them. And the way that they had taught, they showed me how to do it was, I should have asked more questions, but they explained it poorly. And basically what I thought they were doing is you were just pressed record, right? And then tested it. And then you could just press pause. And then every time you wanted to record somebody new, you could just press pause again and it would start, you know what I mean? So like it would start recording. Well, I interviewed like 11 Anaheim Ducks and all I got was check 1, 2, check 1, 2. yeah, it's working. And then it just stops. That's all I got 5 seconds. And it was painful because some of these dudes were like, you know, they're like Russian and all they speak is French. And I'm like, okay, you want to say it's Pride and Joy by Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's like, you are listening to Pride and Joy from Stevie Ray Vaughan. This is somebody from Anaheim Ducks. And I'm like, okay, it's Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's like, Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I'm just like, to the point, like one of the guys had to pull me aside and be like, listen, these guys, they don't really speak that great. You can't, he's like, they're not going to be able to say, I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. But yeah. And then I didn't realize it until I got back and I'm like, here it is. And I put it in my computer and it's just, check 1, 2, check 1, 2. And I'm just like, son of a bitch. Now I got to go tell sales that I spent a whole day bugging all these athletes and I came back with me.
It's the best. It's the best feeling. I remember Eric Holmes, your predecessor in your office. He had Adam Carolla in once and did the same thing.
Oh,
he
like
recorded
right.
nothing.
Recorded, and we had to ask him back.
Yeah,
and we talk about prickly pear. You mentioned three that when it happens to people and they're gracious about it, that's great. But when you already are dealing with somebody who doesn't love the idea of being there,
you know what's funny is he did a couple more of those my turns afterwards. But from then on, he wouldn't come in and he would just record them at his place and email them to us.
Right.
And one of my favorite things in the world was just listening to the a minute and a half pre-roll stuff before he's even started. And I think a couple times he wasn't in a good mood and I would just sit there and listen and just start laughing and listen to him bitch about it. You don't even know what he's mad about. But there's something that's already pissed him off and he's recording it. And that was one of my favorite things about getting things from him.
It's amazing. So going back to the original point, we had our setup. Right. And we had it where it was pretty, you know, it was bulletproof. It was, you guys come in here, we record, everything's great. The times I record. So then COVID hits and we have to figure out how are we going to do this? If we're going to keep doing this, we've got to get it sussed out. Well, Larry then moves up to Cambria from Southern California. So he, you know, there was a little point there where you didn't have all your equipment and all of this kind of stuff. And there was a little bit of a setup thing going on. I took quite some time to figure out my shit because I had to do everything from here. And remember my interface that would go out in the middle of us talking and it would be, I'd sound like a robot.
Yep.
I had to replace that, which cost a mortgage payment. And, you know, all of these different things that had to be changed to get my sound to where I was satisfied with it. And I switched over from Pro Tools to Audition here in the last several months. All of these things. Josh, Josh's technology level. I'll put it this way. Josh. Here's what's going on. Josh still has a VCR that's flashing 12. And it's a Betamax.
Do you remember at the beginning of this, I was actually recording it on my cell phone while we would do Zoom meetings, and I had like a thing, and I had it propped up and was like talking into my phone while watching. Yeah.
And even that, and, not particularly successful every time.
And I would have to go back through the audio. And okay, if you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, that audio from Josh sounded bad in, you know, May. Imagine what it sounded like before, because I went over that shit like it was the Zapruder film and took out all of the stuff I could and denoised it, all of this forensic sound engineering.
Did we even miss a week before End Times happened? Did we just keep going?
I don't think we did.
I think maybe we missed one. I think maybe we missed one because nobody knew what
everybody
was going on.
Everybody was kind of getting set up. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But well, there was one time when
we didn't even know what Zoom was for about a week. And then it was like, oh yeah, this will work.
Oh, we tried, what was it? Sound Stream or some shit.
Oh yeah.
We tried doing a bunch of different things.
FaceTime,
Skype.
Yeah. Skype. Yeah. The Skype was the first one. And that was a train.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It was piss poor. Anyway. Now you're listening in 5x5 quality Dolby
that
sound.
That was back when I had
it's
a different
Dolby. Don't sue me, Dolby.
My different computer that actually sounded like a jet engine taking off when
that's
I
right.
rebooted.
That's right.
So we've upgraded all the technology to the point where this should be the perfect episode. But if we only had content to match.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it. You
one step
had
at a time.
To say.
One step at a time.
Baby
guys.
Steps.
Remember back when Andy talked about how we should start having more structure to these episodes? Remember that attempt?
I got laughed out of the room. I was like, what are you talking about?
That was back in 2018. I'll never forget that.
That was like 2 months ago, Josh. Yeah. But whatever.
I had moments of you know, structure envy back in 2018, I'm sure. Yeah. We talked about, you know, having guests every week and all that kind of stuff. Just sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Look how it took us 3 years just to get a microphone for me.
Right. Yeah,
let alone start doing guests and stuff. What are you, crazy?
So now I'm looking at Josh talking into my microphone with my mic stand and my mic pop filter. It's like I'm looking at the Zoom screen and I'm not sure which one's my apartment, which one's my house.
Well, hey, I bought the stupid. It's like I'm right there, right?
Yeah, it's like you're in the same room.
Exactly.
I'm putting you on my taxes this year. Is that okay?
When Laura and his kids start walking by, that's when you should be concerned.
Exactly.
Hi, Daddy. Why are you in Josh's guest bedroom? What's going on?
Yeah.
So that's
pretty good. How is she doing?
I was going to tell you. Yeah, because I saw her document. She was really all like surgicaled up there. I mean, all the equipment. Yeah. She's connected to a million things there.
Yeah. Did she put that on Facebook?
She put something on Instagram maybe or something.
Oh, my God. Wait, no, I've got to go see the picture that she put on Instagram real quick. If it's the one that she sent me.
It's spelled L A R A.
Start over.
Well, it's not Instagram.
Oh, there she is. There she is. Oh, okay. I found her. I don't have an update. It's not on the Instagram.
No, it's not. Must have been on Facebook, maybe, or so maybe Facebook? It was her story.
Do you want me to say?
That's what she did.
That's what it is.
Story. So it wouldn't be.
It might be gone already.
A lasting
permanent thing.
Right.
Something that should. Yeah,
yeah,
should
but I definitely saw. I definitely was not there visiting her. That was a big pause. Seriously, I was not.
She sent me that picture of her all. She had the shower cap on, like you know they do, and she had her glasses because you can't wear contacts in there. And then she had across her forehead one of those adhesive temperature things. Mm-hmm. Is that the picture that you guys saw?
I don't think that's what she posted. So I'm so glad you described it in great detail.
I don't remember. I remember she was in the gown with the mask on, but I don't remember the forehead sticker.
Yeah.
I've got to show her this picture. She was probably
she did more of
groggy
a glamour shot
then?
for what I saw.
Oh, okay. Oh, here's how you lock it. Okay, there we go. She sent me this picture, and I'll just show you guys.
All right.
Can you see that?
No. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Okay, I can kind of get there.
Right?
Yeah.
That's and then what I did is I turned it upside down because it kind of looks like a goblin that way, or like a leprechaun. And send it back to her. Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Just the kind of thing you want to...
If you turn your head upside down, you look like a goblin. Check this out. Yeah. Love you.
Just the kind of loving message you want to be the last one she hears before she goes under general anesthesia.
That's the bedside manner that you're known for, Andy. That's.
But yeah, no, she got her thumb operated on yesterday. And
Did they write on the other thumb, not this one?
Yeah, they did. They wrote this one, yeah, or okay. Yes, or whatever. On the hand that she was going to get operated on. Doc, it's weird. And I hope I'm not violating her HIPAA rights here in saying this. But they what they do is they go in and they put so she cut right through the nerve.
All right. Yeah.
So what they do is they put a little tube in there. Oof. And they put one end of the nerve in one end and the other end in the other, and they then close it up. And the hope is that it regenerates, and reaches each other and completes. And then that tube just kind of dissolves into your body. It gets absorbed into your body.
That is crazy. Crazy.
It's crazy stuff. So the hope is a couple of months from now, she'll be able to start feeling the thumb again. And then we'll have to go through some, therapy to get the musculature back up to where it needs to be. But just nuts. But the doctors called me and said everything went great. But it was funny. I was in the middle of a meeting talking to someone I work with, and they're like, stop, don't tell, because I got the phone call from the doctor right then, and they're like, stop, don't tell me anymore. I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, I've got this, I forget what he called it. What's the syndrome where if you hear things like that, you'll pass out.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a name for it.
Oh, that'd be great. Just think of how many times you could just start fucking with him.
Right. Well, I told him about Josh's thing about, I have a friend who, if I say anything that's really disgusting, he will start retching uncontrollably. And he told me there's something I have to go find on the old Dana Carvey show. There was, and everybody was on that show. There was, you remember that late night show Dana Carvey had?
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're going to talk about because I have never
Steve
forgotten
Carell,
it.
Stephen Colbert. There were waiters who were repulsed by food.
Right. That's
I've never
and that's
seen
the
it.
Bit. And, oh, you haven't
and
seen it?
That's the bit. I haven't seen it. Okay. I've got to go find it.
Everybody has to watch it. And actually, there is, on Hulu, there is a remarkable documentary of all the things to make a documentary about, but they made a documentary on the making of that show. And it is one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen because it's actually quite inspiring because if you look at all the people that worked on the show and down the first of all, you're talking about America's comedy sweetheart, Dana Carvey, coming off huge success at SNL. And then you've got a writing staff that includes, Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell. It was their first network gig. Louis C.K., who, has gone on to more notorious things since then. Writers from...
But it's always been funny.
Yeah, writers from Seinfeld, writers... I mean, it's just the names involved are unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it just was just a crash and burn. But what the network did and what the show tried to do and the boundaries they were trying to push... Who's the guy behind... Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Robert Schmeigel.
Schmeigel was basically
the, for me to poop on.
He was the producer of the show, so they were really trying to kind of push it and not be just kind of, they wanted it to be primetime cutesy Dana Carvey. They were hoping it was going to be Church Lady, every night, and they did not. I mean, their opening sketch was him doing Bill Clinton and having working nipples and feeding kittens with, it's watch this documentary on Hulu. And there is a moment in it that made me laugh harder than any comedy I've seen in years. They also get the reaction to this moment from Carell and Colbert, and Colbert can barely contain himself. It's a network promo for the show, including the show that comes before it, which was a huge hit at the time, Home Improvement with Tim Allen.
All right.
There's a network promo they show that is the funniest goddamn thing you've ever seen. Anyway, sorry.
Hulu.
But I've never forgotten this sketch because I saw it the night it aired, and I didn't know who these guys were, and I considered it to be one of the funniest things I had ever seen. It was executed so beautifully. But waiters who are repulsed by food, that is the entire bit. And it's actually a bit that they had been doing at Second City, and it helped get them hired on that show. It is good.
I need to go and find it.
Yeah, everybody look it up. We'll post it on the...
What years was the Dana Carvey show? Was it like 95?
This was 90s. Maybe this was late 90s.
Five? Yeah, was it? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it lasted like, what, 6 months?
I think they shot 8 episodes and aired 7 before.
I remember
it
the
tanked
Dana
almost
Carvey...
immediately.
The movie that he did, you remember where he was like the man of a thousand faces or whatever? What was that called?
Oh, he made
the one where he's dressed up as a turtle. He's like,
oh my god, he tries to wipe that from my memory, and you brought
the Turtle Club, this country club.
Oh,
am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club?
Oh, turtle. He made the worst movies.
So good.
Master of Disguise, it's called.
Master of Disguise, that's right.
I'd completely gotten rid of that out of my mind, and you brought it back in.
You know what movie that pops in my head that was actually surprisingly funny to me? And maybe it's... Sometimes, you know how you catch a movie and you don't know what it is, you don't have any expectation about it, and it just kind of tickles you? And you like it more than you think, then you might go back and watch it again and like, what did I see?
Hold on, I'm going to go kill my dog.
But
okay. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
All right. You think he's kidding, right, though? Right?
No, he's going to slice his dog in half with a bread knife.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. Bill Murray, The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Oh, wow.
He's just a bumbling guy, right. But he ends up in this European international intrigue, and he's back. Josh.
What movie is this?
Bill Murray, The Man Who Knew Too Little. It just kind of bumbles into things like a Peter Sellers kind of.
Right.
Just always in, more like a spy version of Being There with a Chauncey Gardner who's like really an idiot.
Like Mr. Bean.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I like that one. And then there's another one with, what's his name? He was one of the guys in Tropic Thunder. Name starts with a C. Last name starts with a C. He was in this movie where he wanted to make a musical with Elizabeth Shue in it. I can't remember.
Sorry, about Steve Coogan?
Coogan. Yeah, Coogan. There's a movie. Look for Steve Coogan, Elizabeth Shue, and you'll find this movie. I remember watching it, just being in a hotel room and turning it on. It's like, what the hell is this? Like at every turn, it just got weirder and
sillier. Oh, you're talking about
Hamlet
2. Hamlet 2.
Yes, Hamlet 2.
Hamlet 2 is great. Hamlet 2 is really good.
I've never even heard
really
of that movie.
Oh,
yeah, he wants to make a sequel to Hamlet, basically. And
with Elizabeth Shue in it. I'm like, what the hell is happening here? It's really funny.
It's really dumb. I actually, because I told you guys last week, I've been listening to this podcast that's going through the whole filmography of Robert Zemeckis, and they got to Back to the... They did a 3-hour episode on Back to the Future. And I was trying to think of, like, really, when was the last time I sat down and watched that movie? Because I remember distinctively seeing that movie twice within a couple of days when it came out in 1985 and or whenever it was, 85, 86. And I just watched it again. It's on all three of them are on Netflix right now. And it holds up so well. Back to the Future is really good. Like,
I love the first movie, and I just can't stand the sequels.
I think the second one is way off the rails, way too dark, and the third one's fine.
Okay, you know what? I don't think I've even seen the third one because the second one turned me off so much that I was
the
just like,
the third one's completely
different.
I saw
it's like there's trains and stuff. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
It's a Western. It's a Western. So it's completely disconnected to the other.
Yeah. You can begin and end with the first one, I think, but it really does hold up. You're right.
It's so good. It kind of might be the perfect movie. And as much as it's kind of gotten flack, I mean, John Mulaney does an incredible bit about, you know, in hindsight, you know, guys pitching the story about what Back to the Future is. So this guy, Marty McFly, he goes back in time and tries to fuck his mom, which is not actually what happens. It's kind of the other way around, but not really.
And wasn't Michael J. Fox, he didn't initially have the role. They started shooting with Eric Stoltz.
No, they shot 5 weeks worth of footage. And then
what happened? They just didn't like him anymore?
Zemeckis sat down with his producer, Steven Spielberg, and said, you need to watch these dailies and tell me that I'm wrong, but something's not working. And Spielberg went, yeah, this isn't it. This is just not the chemistry. He was just like Stoltz just came from a different background and maybe was taking it. He's a good actor and
it just didn't fit the part.
There was just nothing. And they had always wanted Michael J. Fox and they wouldn't let him out of family ties to do the movie.
Stoltz is a good actor, but he's a little more serious.
Yeah. Well, that was his background. He was kind of focused more on the kind of, depth of the character. And then when they started reshooting, it was like obvious that it was like, oh God. And so I guess they agreed to have Michael J. Fox. He was doing both at the same time. He was barely sleeping. And, but it's such a great movie. I mean, and now that I've seen it again and I kind of know so much of what happens, I caught so many little Easter eggs that you would never know existed if you didn't watch like multiple viewings. God, it was such a fun experience. It was both nostalgic and also just completely enjoyable on its own. Man, that's a good movie. Yeah. Anyway, so I rewatched that one. I never rewatch movies. Never,
are you ever. Guys? Are you guys? Are you getting into the mood for doing like a horror movie thing yet?
With the kids? No,
just for like an action for yourself, like watching a good horror movie.
I've already been prepping for. I mean, we kind of prepped a little bit. The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss is on HBO right now. Not technically a horror movie, but super effective. And we all watched that as a family last night. And we're kind of getting in the mood for scary. So I'm kind of researching stuff we haven't seen. To maybe, something new and something. There are some really good ones that have come out in the last couple of years. Midsommar, supposed to be really good and creepy.
I still haven't seen the second part of It, which I keep meaning to get around.
I haven't either.
I heard it wasn't as good as the first, but I still want to see it because I love that first one so much.
You're a Stephen King fan for sure. I'll tell you what, Silas keeps wanting to see like It and stuff. No, and he brings it up. I'm like, there's no fucking way. There's no way. No.
Especially anything that involves kids. I mean, it would be one thing if it was just suspenseful, but this is kids hunted down by their by their biggest fears. It's
in like very, very disturbing and shocking visuals. What I mean? It's like, male, like that part when he's in the basement and comes at the little kid and it's like this weird herky jerky kind of movement.
Yeah.
That freaked me out. Like if I saw something like that, I would just start crying and curl up.
That's the thing is you can't unsee stuff like that. I remember, so he's asking, this in this last year and a half or two, he's said, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen? And I don't know if I know the answer to that exactly. It depends on the time, It's like when I saw Poltergeist. When I saw Poltergeist at the time, that was one of the scariest movies I had seen. Yeah.
When I saw Jaws, I was completely scared out of my mind.
And now it's as scary as a piece of shoe leather.
And the first Halloween was one of the first kind of genuinely scary movies I ever saw in a theater, and I was troubled for days after
that was my next question. Do you guys remember the first movie that like had you laying in bed thinking about first scary movie? What was it?
Yes, it was Paranormal Activity.
Really?
Paranormal Activity.
I'm talking like you, when you, were,
you
a
were a grown up person.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would see scary stuff and then go to bed and pull the covers over my head and only make an opening for my mouth hole so that none of the monsters could see me.
Until
I went to sleep.
Yeah, they come walking in and see a mouth hole.
The first time I remember a specific movie and mouth holes scare them. The first time I remember.
Depends on what kind of monster.
is it a succubus? No, the first time I remember a specific movie scaring me was Paranormal Activity. And I was, 30 or whatever, 35 when I saw it. But I remember, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not giving anything away when I say
it's 10 years old, so you can go.
Yeah.
But, Spoiler alert.
There's a part of the movie, there's a big component of the movie where you look over and you see the clock and it's like 3:15 in the morning, right? I mean, that's, it keeps waking up at odd times, or we see the time code on the camera. Or
it's all like it says, found footage. It's all, I mean,
it is all found footage.
It's all like security camera and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it was very unexpected. And that vision was pretty, you know, pretty bright in my mind still. For weeks after that, I would like wake up in the middle of the night and just look over and check what time it was and see my clock. And it says like, you know, 4:12. I'm you know, I get like,
oh my God, there's a time.
Yeah. Well, it made me think of, are they coming now? You know, what just woke me up? It just raised the hair on my skin.
I remember, and you brought this back into my life. What's the Don Knotts movie?
The Incredible Mr. Limpet?
No, yes, the ghost in Mr. Chicken.
Yes, the one, the scene where he walks in and the player piano is playing with blood on the keys.
Yeah.
I saw that when I was a kid, and I had like was laying for weeks, laying in bed, picturing that keyboard with the, wasn't there blood on the.
I just seem to remember.
I don't remember, but I remember the things. And my uncle had a player piano, one of those old ones. And he just thought it was super entertaining to show it to me every time I come over. And I would just stand there like, yeah, it's cool. And I would just watch it. It was just like terrifying seeing this player piano play. But yeah.
Now, what's the name of it again?
It's The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Now, and what age do you reckon that's appropriate for?
I don't think it's bad.
It was just that scene. It's like the whole movie wasn't scary.
It was meant for kids. I mean, it was, but it was also came from an era where they could push the envelope for kids. But it was, I mean, it might even have been a G-rated.
Yeah.
He made a series of like almost Disney. I don't know if it was Disney specifically, but
I specifically went back and watched the scene within like the last year just to see. What, you know, to see if I can remember why I was so scared. And it's also the creepy leading up to it. You know what I mean? Like he hears it and then he's exploring to go find it. And that, I remember I think that was just like the first time in my life that I had that sense of dread. Like, what the hell is he doing? Why, you know what I mean? And it just stuck with me. And you brought that back, Andy, by talking about it on a 10 at 10 one. I think you played that part or something on a 10 at 10 one morning.
I did?
Yep. Oh, wow. And it all kicked back in my head. And I was like, holy shit, I forgot. That scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember that. What about you, Larry? Do you have any specific?
I remember, you know, it's funny because that I did see that movie and that same part really messed me up. When I would watch the Channel 11 out of Dallas when I was a kid would play the entire library of Universal horror films. So, you know, they'd go in order. So it would be, you know, the classics, you know, the Draculas and the Frankensteins, but, you know, and then all their sequels, which got progressively less good, but still very effective, you know, Son of Dracula and, you know, but none of those ever really, I thought they were still pretty campy and kind of silly, but the Wolfman movie was somehow way more impactful to me. I don't know why. It just seemed, maybe it was more realistic. Yeah. As vampires and Frankensteins seemed like fictional characters, but to see a man transform into a wolf.
That's totally expected.
I mean, look, and my dad was kind of hairy, so I think I made the correlation. And that was one, like Andy, that if it came into my mind at night, it would be, I'm sure there's one outside, and
I just remembered covers
over my head.
We had
and my mouth hole sticking out.
We had this little white dog. He was a mix of like a collie and a poodle. So picture that. But he was like this little white dog, and we would put him in the basement. He slept down in the basement at nighttime, right? Which was my bedroom was on the same side of the house as the door to the basement, and my bed was right against that window, and he would howl like a wolf for like 30 minutes every night, and it would just terrify me because I would just be laying in my bed just hearing Just imagine going to sleep as that. And I totally forgot about that until when you just brought up the wolf.
Then you start singing, hush, hush, thought I heard you call my name now, hush.
You know what? I did have a recent example of, and it wasn't a movie, but it was a book. I was reading. I'd been looking forward to it forever because occasionally I'll delve into true crime. And knowing the story behind it, as soon as it came out, I bought I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the book, the nonfiction book about the Golden State Killer that was written by the late wife of Patton Oswalt. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yes.
And it's
Patton Oswalt's comedian, and his wife was did investigative journalism.
Yeah, she was a true crime blogger, and then ended up writing.
And she is the one who basically cracked the Golden State Killer.
Crime. Her research actually helped open it back up again to the point where investigators finally did arrest the guy, obviously, and he's been charged.
And then she died.
And she died before she could finish the book. Michelle McNamara is her name. And
that's right.
There's an HBO documentary on the whole thing, which is excellent. But I read the opening of that book is so effective that I was in my apartment in LA at the time and by myself, and I was reading in the dark in my e-reader, and at one point, I had to get up out of bed, walk over, close the closet door. I felt like a 5-year-old kid again, but it was just so effective. I was like, I know intellectually there is not a killer in my closet right now, but I'm going to secure it all the way. It's just going to make, you know, it's like there's no lock on it. I'm not going to put I'm not going to be stupid and put a chair in front of it and then the doorknob or something. But it just made me more at ease to not have that sliver of pitch black, you know, staring at me as I was sitting there reading. That's some effective writing right there. I'm telling you.
That's good.
And also because it was true.
I just started listening to the Serial Killer podcast, and if you want to get into just there's some like I have to read the description before I actually listen to the podcast, because the guy gets, I mean, it depends on he details on what happens in these crimes, and it's just like I'm like, if this has anything to do with kids or something, I'm not listening. I don't want it. I'm not listening to anything like
that. I'm curious to know how you would rate it on the Josh Fleeger gag scale. Five gags. that's high praise indeed.
Did you just say cereal?
Me?
Because
oh, no.
Yeah. Because we have a
is
call
this an
to the
attempted segue.
This is a segue. We have a call to the YAF line, and I just saw the first sentence of the transcription of it. Should we get to the YAF line call?
Sure. This is
well, apparently, since you made the hard left turn into it, why not? Clearly, you don't want
to
hear
the end of the show.
Clearly, you don't want to hear the rest of Josh's story.
No, I'm sorry, Josh. You had more to say.
No, don't worry about cereal.
No, fuck
go.
It. No.
Tell me about gagging on cereal.
Didn't hurt his feelings. No.
That's all right, Andy. We need more of you talking. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Like you've never interrupted anything, Josh.
Let's take the call. Let's go to the YAF line. What do you say? What's that number, Andy?
Hey, did you guys know Cam Newton has COVID-19?
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
Do you know President Trump has COVID-19?
Oh, yeah. Who do you feel the worst about, Andy? Both of you, as a fan of the Patriots and a fan of the U.S. government as it currently stands.
I tell you what, though, Chris Christie has it. I worry for him, man. I wonder, you know, I don't wish ill on any human being. I think that is classless. But with all the people that got infected at this super spreader event that went on over the last couple of weeks, and people that, you know, didn't take any precautions, I don't think everyone's going to live through this. And it worries me, people like Chris Christie, who are morbidly obese. You know, if he gets real symptoms from this, you know, God help him. I don't know what'll save him.
Well, the point of that is that that's a tough lesson to have to learn it that way. And all of that could have been avoided super easily.
All of it could have been avoided.
Easily.
So by the time people hear this, it might be morbid news about some of these situations. And I certainly
can I just
know,
point
hope
out
everybody who's ill it has a quick recovery.
Can I just point out that I believe I stated a month and a half ago that around week three, the NFL would start canceling football games.
Yep.
Nothing's been canceled yet. Yeah, it's Steelers been postponed.
Well, postponed, and they postponed the Patriots-Kansas City Chiefs game today.
Yep.
Hey, but the Pac-12 is going to bring the young, vibrant, perfect immune system kids back. So.
And the Big Ten's playing.
Woo-hoo. Fight on.
Here's the good news. So far in my fantasy league, I'm 3-0.
Oh, God.
So,
at
least there's that.
There's always a silver lining. Hey, what's that phone number, Andy?
Yeah.
It's 626-657-6428 or PM hat.
Andy, did you just say something about cereal?
I did. Okay. Thanks for reminding me about that. All right. Let's get right to this phone call here.
Gentlemen, you guys were talking about serial killers. I said serial characters fighting inside the Thunderdome. Here's my 2 cents. I think you guys are underestimating or forgetting one guy. You're forgetting the Cookie Crisp guy. He's a cop. He's got a nightstick, and he might have a gun. But at the very least, he's got a nightstick, and he's just going to bash motherfuckers with that thing. So my underdog for your serial character Thunderdome fight is the Cookie Crisp guy. All right.
Good one.
You guys have a good one. Once again, this is Ron from Claremont. You guys have a good one.
Well, thanks, Ron. Thank you for making that transition, that awkward transition that Andy came up with, actually pay off.
Yeah. Surprisingly.
That's a good one, though. I forgot about the Cookie Crisp guy.
Cookie Crisp,
He's got his little billy club he can smack some people over the head with.
What is the connection between law enforcement and Cookie Crisp? Is there an obvious one there? Is that it, Andy? Are you picking up the guitar already?
It's been almost an hour.
Well, here's your hat. What's your hurry, man? What about our new email? The one that nobody seems to know yet.
I want to talk about that. I'm just have it in my hand, so it's comfortable and ready to go. Christ, does it?
Do you remember the first chord?
What did I do to make you angry?
You're such a party pooper. It's just I feel like we're just getting things going, and you know, and then the fun's over. And
I'm so glad we had this time together.
I'm still sitting here wondering what the hell the cops have to do with Cookie Crisp.
Well, that's the dilemma,
right? A cliffhanger. I don't know. I mean,
all right. Well, who is our? Is it George that is our archivist, our research?
Yes, the show historian.
So, George, if you can give us a detailed report, if you have the time to find out why Cookie Crisp has a law enforcement character involved, because we can't figure it out.
Well, was there some type of cookie criminal?
I don't remember that.
Maybe there was.
Kind of like a Hamburglar thing?
Where somebody trying to steal the Cookie Crisp?
Yeah. Well, the fact that a cereal company came up with giving kids cookies for breakfast is a crime. So that right there, I think you could make a case.
It was a bowl of chocolate chip cookies.
I never got that.
They didn't even hide it. Cookie Crisp.
Yeah. Yep. What was the other? What was the one like that had a rabbit? Is it Quisp?
Quisp was the Martian, I think, or that little alien character. You're talking about Twix?
No,
Quisp is a candy bar.
Q-U-I-S-P.
No, Quisp. There were two that were marketed at the same time. It was Quisp and Quake or something like that.
Is that right?
Because that was, I think, yeah, that was the little, that was the little Martian, that was the little Martian character with the propeller on its head.
Oh, right. Right, he had a propeller.
And I think there was a companion serial that was really close. Yeah, it was Quake. Quake was the other one, and that was
Is this like 60s
that was the
cereal?
Construction guy. No, that was like a miner. He had a miner's cap on his head. It was Quisp and Quake from Quaker Oats. I get it.
Oh,
stupid.
Nice. Larry.
Yeah.
We need to clarify. In last week's episode, thank you for bringing it up. Mm-hmm. We said we were going to get a YAF email account.
We did.
And we ended by saying, at least in the podcast, well, we got to get YAF @gmail.com. Right. Certainly that's got to be available. You went and looked for that. What did you find?
Well, it was not in fact available because they don't let you just use three letters. Right. So if it does exist,
That's it?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, just think of how many fake email accounts they have created.
How many letters do you need?
Four. More than that. I think it was at least six. So we are now the full spelled out your artificial friends at gmail.com. That's a lot,
nice.
But at
right.
least it's easy
read
to remember.
Me, read me all the emails we got. How many? All right. 20, 30?
Let me check here. We have one. Okay. So, and this one comes.
And was it? Wait, let me guess. Was the one, welcome to Gmail. Yeah, exactly. This is where you're.
I'm not counting that one. And I'm not counting the ones that you guys sent back to me when I sent you the first email.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is from Ryan. Ryan, thank you for writing to yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. He writes, I was 15 cutting up scrap lumber for firewood. Unfortunately, I was using a circular saw with a broken blade guard that wouldn't close. About an hour into cutting the lumber, I was getting a little tired and relaxed my arm a bit, and it got too close to my leg. I looked down just in time to see it cut into my leg. Of course, adrenaline as it is, my initial traction was to tighten, or reaction, he means, was to tighten my grip, assuring the button stayed depressed. I finally realized what happened after the blade locked up in my leg and let go of the whole saw to see the huge gash it put in my leg with blood everywhere. Holding the wound together, I managed to get into the house and get on the phone with the operator to call an ambulance. Luckily, I had been training for football all summer, so my legs were in really good shape, and I think that's what kept the saw from reaching the femoral artery and killing me.
Good times.
Back home, pool of blood by the phone, trail of blood leading out to the backyard that is... Who was it? It was older sister followed a trail back out in the backyard like a detective, had to put it all together. 45 stitches later in crutches for 2 weeks, I made a full recovery. Ryan.
45 stitches.
So Ryan, and Ryan from Portland, Oregon, thank you for the email, but unfortunately, you did not make...
Yeah, blood doesn't. It's more... got to be gross. That just made me cringe, like... I mean, that was more cringeworthy. Just like
the name of the game is not can you make Josh's sphincter squeeze up like an anemone.
No.
It's can you make Josh wretch?
We literally got a new email in as we were talking. Would you like to hear it or should we?
Oh,
say
please! It? Really? Silly. One just happened right now.
All right, Jared Miller. Thank you for emailing.
Hey, Jared Miller.
Hello, my artificial friends. 2 weeks ago today, I cut my hand. I was trying to cut bamboo skewers into shorter lengths because we were out of toothpicks. I was using a cheap pair of kitchen shears from Harbor Freight. They weren't up to the task. To get them to make the cut, I was squeezing the blades with my left hand while I squeezed the handles like normal with my right. After a few cuts, was having particular trouble with one of the last ones, adjusted my grip with my left hand. As the scissors finally broke through the bamboo, I felt the cut on my palm just below the soft pad at the base of my left index finger. It wouldn't stop bleeding, so I ended up at urgent care. I knew it had gone deep, but as I watched the doctor manipulating the flesh around the cut to decide if it could be stitched, I watched pieces of subcutaneous fat on opposite sides of the cut come together each time he squeezed it. Little islands of off-white in a pool of red. It was the first time I had experienced nausea, lightheadedness in relation to my blood or an injury. Typing this up, I'm briefly experiencing a minor levelative of it all over again. Jared and Anna.
That was
really close.
Notable effort. Yeah, like the blood and everything was... that was the same thing. Was cringeworthy, but then when he started to get into pussy white...
The thing is, when you get the oozing of the yellowy pus that comes around, when the fat is, you know, like kind of squishing together, and then the yellowy, whitish pus that kind of oozes out around that, that's the time.
You're not going to win,
and
Andy.
Especially if it starts to get a little infected and there's like a greenish hue to it, almost like a snot-like, you know, feeling to the pus. It just oozes out around there.
There's also the smell. You get that really...
The smell. Yes! Yes! It took all three of us.
All right. That's how you do it, Jared. Oh, that's
how as you soon do as that. You invoke smell, as soon as you invoke smell, I was like,
make a note, friends. That's what gets it. More that's detail, it. More pus, and describe the scent. Yeah. And you're gonna get
by the way. That is not a win for Jared because it took the two of us assisting.
That's a fine attempt.
I just see like Dr. Pimple Popper pop up on the TV and I gag. My wife like went and like tried to put that off. I came walking in the room and she was watching. I'm like, you're not effing watching this, are you? And she's like, I'll turn it. I'm like, unless you let me spray vomit all over the television, I'm not watching Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah. But if you do that, get video on that, please.
Hey, people can reach us at yourartificialfriends.com.
Your artificial friends at
gmail.com.
There we go.
At gmail.com. And where else can they reach you if they want to reach you individually, Larry?
I am on Instagram, the Larry Morgan, and you can find me on Facebook as well.
Josh. You
can always reach me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
And I'm on the Instagram at Andy Chanley and also on the Twitter at Andy_Chanley. Facebook, if anybody ever still goes there, DJ Andy Chanley.
And Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Yes.
He is.
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships in. Tune into this podcast. We are the official friends.
That was nice, fellas. Thanks for spending some time with me.
It's 1 week ago. I don't have to gag. Just 1 week.
Nope.
Just give me one podcast where I'm not... Nope. Like I don't have watery eyes at the end of the podcast because I'm just dry heaving.
Nope. You're on the wrong podcast, Josh. This is right. this is our signature now.
Your artificial gag. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.